This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour two as we roll along. Good Monday to you. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. You know, we, along with other shows, we do our own version of a buy or sell, which we have sort of concepts, and we try to buy them or sell them. In reality, that's where the NFL goes about a couple of weeks into the season. You know, you buy a team or you sell a team. You're not really sure what their record actually means. We all know Bill Parcells famously said, you are what your record is. But we also know that there's a little bit of wiggle room to that statement. If you're 8-8, you're 8-8. You're not really 10-6, and you're really not 6-10. Or back in the old days, now it, of course, would be like 10-7. But you are 8-8, you know, or you're 8-9, or whatever it is now. Tonight, for example, is one of those situations where there's a sort of buy or sell aspect to it. And that is the Dallas Cowboys taking on the New York Giants. The Giants have struggled against the Cowboys for the last 10 meetings. In fact, they've only won one game in the last 10 meetings. Dallas is 9-1 against the Giants. And yet, this is the year that the Giants started the season 2-0. Well, what kind of 2-0 have the Giants started? If tonight they should win this game, and it's all likelihood that they could win this game, Cooper Rush is on a nice little roll after beating Cincinnati, but still the backup quarterback, and the Giants run the ball as good as any team in the NFL after 2 weeks. Take that for what it is. It's a short little sample size, but they're running the ball really well. They're playing at home. Daniel Jones appears to be playing a little bit better. Brian Daboll has instituted a little bit of a different look and a different culture. Again, short sample size, so go with it any way you want. But if the Giants win tonight, we're going to be putting them in the conversation of a 3-0 football team when there aren't very many 3-0 football teams around. In fact, look at what's going on now with all the teams that we thought were going to be rolling to these magnificent records coming off losses. So do we buy or sell the Giants? Well, we'll wait to see tomorrow exactly what we think about them. And if the Dallas Cowboys win tonight, they'll be 2-1. The Giants will be 2-1. And both of them will be behind the Eagles still at 3-0. But I do think that this early in the season, as we've seen these teams starting to come around, we're getting a better look at them. But we're not 100% sure what it all means. It's a long season. Injuries happen. Teams can get derailed. 0-3 for the Raiders could mean they win 7 in a row, and all of a sudden they're a 7-3 football team, and now looking around at trying to figure out who others are in their class. It's not over, obviously, if you're 0-3, but if you're 3-0, it does put you in a very good spot, and that could be where the Giants are.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue. It is Wake Up Call, and it's a good Monday to you, so let's get things rolling. How about the good of the day?
Well, the good of the day has to be Pujols' 700th home run.
Yes.
Now, I know we'll probably talk about this later on in a little bit, but I couldn't let this go because the good of the day or the great of the day actually occurred back in April. Did you know this?
Well, you got to give it to me, so I don't know.
Back in April, Major League MLB Network's Greg Amsinger. I'm sorry, I know I should know his name, but Amsinger made a prediction back on April 13th. You ready for this? Here it is.
Albert's going to play so much more than people think. He is. He's a draw, and he's going to be productive. He will reach 700 career home runs.
I have bad news, Cardinal fans. I have bad news.
He's going to hit a 700th career home run on the road.
And only fitting it'll be in Wrigley, right?
No. Friday night in Los Angeles in September.
Of Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, man, that's a
okay,
crazy
so that's when it's going to happen against his former teammate. Hall of Famer versus Hall of Famer. It'll be on the road.
I can't wait to see it.
That is amazing.
Now, if you didn't see it, he wasn't off of Clayton Kershaw, but
no, but still it was
Friday
against Los
night,
Angeles.
September against the Dodgers on the road. I mean,
okay, when
April
first,
13th is when he did this.
Okay, when he first said on the road,
That's not a bold prediction.
No.
Because they were playing 11 of their final 14 games on the road. So if you're saying he was going to hit 700 home runs and you knew how many home runs he was going to need to hit, you could probably go, if it's going to happen, it's going to be late in the year. He ain't going to get it on Labor Day. Right? So, like, it's probably going to be around, you know, you could see a huge chunk of road games at the end of the season and go,
yeah,
it's likely to land in this area right here. That's not a bold prediction. But to land it in Los Angeles is one of the places. So he looked at the bottom, right? And he went, okay, here's where they're going. In the five of these, of this large chunk of games, they're going to San Diego, Los Angeles, Milwaukee. They got a couple of home games, and I think they go somewhere, one more thing before the close out the season. He's looking at that, so he's picking one of like four places, I think, to hit it. He chooses Los Angeles, and he says the Friday night. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Well done. Well done. That's really good.
Now, it would have been cool, I guess, if it was off of Kershaw, but
it would have been great if it was off of Kershaw. You know, that would have been fantastic.
Then he would just have to quit jobs.
Yeah, it was fun. I was at football game that night and calling this game, and I was checking my phone, and I could not get really good internet. I was in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee. I'm not kidding. Nowhere, Tennessee. This was a small town. This was, to not sort of make it like this sort of a Rockefeller type of painting, this was a small town, like, shut down, we're all coming to homecoming for the local high school. That's where I was.
Okay.
Old press box, no internet, no nothing. I could barely get any internet. But I did see 699 that he had hit earlier in the game. So I saw that, and I went, oh, very cool. You know, like, he'll probably get it this weekend. And it wasn't until I drove home, as I was driving home, the radio was talking about 700, and they were talking about it throughout. I did feel bad. I guess people in St. Louis could not see this. Because it was on Apple TV, and it wasn't a local broadcasted game on television. That it was only on the radio that they could hear it. So that was kind of too bad. But because if you didn't have Apple TV, there was no way to see it. So people went to sports bars to try to find places that had it so they could watch it. But yeah, it was still
all right, in this fantastic day and age. They gotta do something.
Well, it's really difficult. What I don't like is this. I don't mind Apple TV getting involved and all that. That's fine.
No, that's.
But baseball is a local sport. It's not on the same level as the NFL, where you have all this interest in, like, somebody in Maine could be interested in Chargers, Jaguars because of fantasy and gambling and whatnot. It's mostly, baseball is a mostly regional sport, and you've got to make sure your local market can get every game. It can't be an exclusive thing. And I don't know much of the details. It's kind of what I heard over the weekend. But it can't be so exclusive that you're telling people in St. Louis, you get all the games on your local whatever channels that they come from, the local broadcasters. But these certain games, you can't get them because you have to pay for Apple TV. If you don't want Apple TV, doesn't matter. You still have to pay if you want. That's ridiculous. Like, there's got to be a kind of a happy medium of this.
Yeah, because I remember, you know, this was a similar situation, like, in L.A. that it was at the time, I think it was Time Warner. Time Warner, the cable company, was the only one carrying, or Spectrum cable company, was the only one that was carrying Dodger games. And if you didn't subscribe to one of those, to that cable network or that cable provider, you didn't get the game. Well, the issue was that a lot of people in the L.A. area, that wasn't an option for them.
Right, sure, exactly.
There are certain areas where, like, no, you're only this cable provider, no other cable provider exists for you.
That's it.
It's
yeah.
just this. So if you moved into that neighborhood, maybe you moved into that neighborhood for the schools, it's closer to work, blah, 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 whatever it might be. The only cable provider you can get didn't carry the Dodgers, and you weren't able to see it at all. And that's, to me, those are the moments I was like, okay, this is just stupid.
But I understand, like, with the amount of money these leagues want, the other side is going to want something too.
Oh,
right?
Of course.
You know, they're going to say, like, well, we, like, Apple TV is like, you want us to spend this amount of money? We are, but you know what? We want exclusivity. Like, I'm sorry, but we're not going to get this so that everyone can watch it just on local over the air TV. Like, that's not going to happen. So, like, but there's got to be a balance. There's got to be a happy medium between the two.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Aaron Judge is on this chase, right? And ESPN was carrying college football on Saturday.
Yep.
And Saturday afternoon, Aaron Judge was playing the Red Sox. And my friend here in Tennessee, he posted on Twitter, he's like, I'm sick of these cutaways. And I'm like, it's a national network. It's like, it's not the network of you watching college football. It's a big moment, and they have to cover sports. They cover sports no matter if you like it or not. If it's a big deal, they have to cover it. And I'm sorry that you had your Wisconsin Marshall game or whatever it was disrupted by a split screen of Aaron Judge's at bat. But what else are they supposed to do? Ignore it?
You know, it's funny. That almost ended up as my bat of the day was a split screen. Right. And I sat there, I was like, you know what? I mean, you're still seeing your game. And
you're still seeing the game.
And how much time are we actually talking about here?
But the thing is this. If it was Albert Pujols, I don't think people would complain. It's Aaron Judge of the Yankees, and people go, I mentally can't handle this. I'm mentally breaking down. I can't exist
the Yankees.
Because the Yankees are on my split screen while I'm trying to watch some early football game on the same television. They didn't cut away for it. They just are showing me a split screen, but I mentally am breaking down. If it was Albert Pujols, everyone would have been like, this is great. I got to see a historic moment live. It's a Yankee. Forget it. That's just the way it is. Like that's what I wanted to. I sort of ignored his tweet, but I wanted to point out to him, you're not mad for this. You're mad because it's a Yankee. You live in Tennessee. You don't like the North. You don't like Yankee baseball. We get it. But if it was Albert Pujols, you wouldn't have had any problems with this at all. And you know it, and I know it, you know. And that's just the way that is. So, but yeah, they've got to do something because I felt bad. It was a great moment. I know we went long on the good. So what's the bad of the day?
Real quick, the bad of the day is two former teammates or friends who used to play with each other with the Diamondbacks had a national anthem standoff yesterday. And I'm talking about the Mariners pitcher Robbie Ray and Royals pitcher Luke Weaver.
Yeah.
So if you don't know what this is, teams line up for the national anthem right outside their dugout. These two particular players decided to stay out there holding their hats over their hearts and just kind of had a standoff staring down till, you know, one of them backed away into the dugout.
So it was after the anthem, they just stood there?
They just stood there. And it was ended because the umpires decided to toss both players from the game.
That's a little extreme.
Yeah. Now, fortunately for these two, neither one of them was pitching today. Or that
Do they hate each other, or was this like a friendly?
Oh, it was a friendly thing. They were teammates. They were friends. I think they got together beforehand.
Well, you say that it's like it's obvious, but when two people are staring, we have to sort of.
Yeah, no, there's no ill will between the two. Okay. They were just trying to bring fun into baseball.
I wondered at the time whether the Major League Baseball had said, "Hey, those two hate each other." And if they do anything at all, toss them both.
No, this was more or less that they were standing right outside the dugout, where you know the dugout entrance, right outside of it, and the umpires needed to get the game going on. Neither man was backing down.
Yeah.
The umpire was like, I need to start this game. You guys are ejected.
Well, okay, so is the bad those two doing it, or the bad is those guys getting ejected?
Hey, you know what? For both the Mariners and the Royals, what fun do they have left in the season? I mean, I know the Mariners could still make the playoffs.
All right,
but
so let me ask you a question. Could they do it for a half an hour?
That's a great question.
Could they do it for 15 minutes?
Maybe. I'd say 15 is okay.
If the game is supposed to start at five past the hour, if you get the crowd involved
and the crowd's cheering and going, or just play. Have them stand out there. Just play. They're far enough away.
They can't be there on the. No, they can't.
They're far enough away.
Foul balls and stuff. They can't just.
That might make one of them flinch.
My overall point is: at what point is it appropriate for the? Because I think it was overreaction. I think it was way overreaction. But I also would have said to both managers, "All right, this is fun, but get your guy off the field."
Yeah, I would have gone that route.
Like, we're not doing anything crazy here. We're not going to know nuts, but. Let me just
or you know say hey they can continue the standoff, just put them behind the barrier
because
just have them stand there the entire game.
I mean, listen, believe me, I hate to be the dad that likes to break the kids' fun, but literally we can't go to 1:30.
No, but I think there should be
there's a point where fans are going to go, come on, can we start the game please? Like this is cute, but 27 minutes into this, I can't mentally.
But I think there needs to be an alternate form of what to do instead of just ejecting them both from the game. I mean, even though it didn't matter because neither one is pitching,
I thought
they weren't going to play anyways.
I was wondering where the animosity for the umps was coming on Twitter over the weekend, and I kept going, well, if they hate each other, you got to do something. But if they are having a friendly thing, then you, I think you go to the managers and go, can you get your guy off the field, please, so we can play ball?
You know, that's enough. Or declare, or, you know, just have some umpire, have some fun. Make, you know, you're always looked at in a negative way. Maybe walk over to one of them and, you know, raise their arm and go, he's the winner.
So who, what was the two teams?
Mariners and Royals.
I love the way you said the Mariners, they, what was, you said fun and left. The Mariners are going to the playoffs.
Maybe. They haven't, clinched, maybe they haven't clinched yet.
They're in, they're fighting for a playoff spot.
They're fighting for a playoff spot, but they, their best players on the disabled list are
injured. Wait a
minute.
That's
your, they're done.
Let's not.
They're done, Tony. They're done.
You're acting as if these two teams are like both combined 70 games below 500.
Well, the Royals are pretty much.
The Royals aren't very good, but the Mariners are still.
Now
the Mariners
they're done,
are fighting.
Tony.
No, I think they're in.
No,
they're not in. Hold on, hold on.
Technically, they have not clinched yet.
No, no, I know. But what I'm saying is, I think they're so far ahead that it's going to be relatively easy for them to secure the final wild card spot. I think the one because
they're
four games ahead of the Orioles. That's a pretty good cushion for the rest of the season. So
we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. All right, want to come back and do the dumb?
Sure.
All right, let's come back and do the dumb. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. All right, so we're going to wrap up Good, the Bad, and the Dumb with the dumb because I went on my anti St. Louis Cardinals can't see the home run rant.
You know, we all did.
Nevertheless.
We all feel that stupid.
What is the dumb
that
of the day?
That should have been the dumb of the day, the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah,
St. Louis,
right?
The city, the fans could not watch their.
Could not see that.
You know, their. I mean, future Hall of Famer. There, I mean, he's going to have a statue. I mean, they couldn't watch him hit
sure
his milestone homer. Anyways, the bad or the dumb of the day. I'm going to say it this way. Right, I enjoyed Eli Manning becoming Chad Powers and trying out for the team.
I thought that was really cool.
I thought Eli Manning was good. Now I don't know if it's the trend of this of walk-ons, a guy trying out to be a walk-on is stupid. Is over, or it was the player that did it next.
Okay.
So I'll leave it up to you. But Jimmer Fredette went undercover and tried out for BYU, posing as a player who called himself Slick Nick. And he was from Cincinnati, and he tried to walk on to BYU's campus or BYU's basketball team.
First of all, Jimmer Fredette trying to walk on at BYU. He must have been in serious disguise.
Well, and that was part of the problem. I mean, he was in
disguise.
Because
he's Jimmer Fredette.
Yeah, he was in disguise, but even some of the kids were like, God, this kid looks familiar to me. Probably just the way like he held himself and played.
He's
he
one of
familiar.
The legendary BYU players, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, like, isn't? I mean, wouldn't he? Wouldn't, I mean, I can't think of very many BYU players that have ever been on the national level like Jimmer Fredette was. So, yeah, so he should have walked on somewhere else.
Right. Right. That was my first thing was like, you know, hey, go walk on at Iowa.
Yeah. That's a good one, right?
Where they won't recognize. I mean, you know, Eli Manning didn't walk on in Mississippi.
Right. Right. No, right.
You know,
exactly.
He went to, you know, where people might recognize his voice, you know, might recognize his stature. I don't know. But I mean, also enough years have been removed. I feel like Jimmer Fredette just played 5 years ago at BYU, but
yeah,
I know he hasn't.
That was, I want to say, early 2000, like 2010, something like that is when he played there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a while since he played, like 2008, 2009, that kind of year. So anyway, what happened?
But, well, I mean, he walked on. I mean, it's pretty much the same thing as what happened with Eli. You know, I mean, people were like, man, this guy's really good, and then. You know, exposes him. So I don't know. Is it a campaign that's going on? I mean, I haven't heard anything. Is it a campaign where they're like, oh, walk on? You know, let's have all these guys walk on. And
yeah.
Are we gonna have a another college basketball one? Are we gonna have a baseball one coming up soon, where this pitcher just looks really good? I don't know. I'm hoping the truth.
I mean, imitation is the greatest form of flattery, but I don't think I need to see this over and over again.
Right.
And by the way,
and that's why I said I don't know. Is it him or is it the player? Because you know, what if you did this with a different player?
This,
like, if
this
it was
is,
Seth Curry,
yeah, right,
or,
exactly.
I mean, Steph Curry. You know, if he went back and tried to walk on at some university, and people were like, man, look at this kid shoot.
So here's my problem. It goes back to that TV show Undercover Boss.
Right.
Right. Where how many people can you fool with a new employee, clearly in makeup, with a camera crew following them around?
Until you understand.
Before the employees get that, if I treat this guy good, he'll buy me a car, give me a raise, maybe a promotion, and a trip to Disney World.
Send me to college.
Right? For me and my four kids.
Yeah.
Right, that I'm supporting on this minimum wage job.
That I complained about just before he came in.
Just before he came in, I said how horrible this company was. But now that I'm training the new guy with the camera crew, I'm going to tell him how awesome it is and how I show up every day early.
Right.
Eventually, these walk-on tryouts are going to be, people are going to look around and go, seem to be way more cameras than I thought it would be for a walk-on tryout. And this guy is exceptionally good at what we're doing. Whatever it is we're doing, he's exponentially better than all of us that are trying to do it. And then people are going to start figuring it out. Right, because that's how viral things are. You could probably get away with it years and years ago, but now everyone's going to be seeing these things on viral. So if you're trying out for some walking on, because I got to think when you're walking on, you're looking around the talent level and you're like, look, we obviously didn't get recruited. We obviously weren't on anybody's radar. We're trying to walk on. But when the guy is draining every three he sees or throwing brilliant passes, you got to get to a point where you go, nah, I don't think this is working. There's something up with this guy. So that's my theory behind these, that eventually they'll be exposed way before what they are.
Yeah.
It is cool, though. Like, I liked when James Franklin I did like the part where James Franklin revealed that it was Eli Manning, saying, we have one guy here. He's ineligible. He can't play anymore. And then the everyone gets to see it's Eli Manning. And that was kind of a cool reveal. So.
And I guess, that I mean, at that neat. One, I guess, you know, could you, I don't know if you would ever recognize someone just being able to throw the football. But, I mean, you know, it wasn't just that. What I loved most about what they showed about that was, you know, his footwork.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, him being able to move back and forth, up and down. I mean, he was, you know, it was seeing that, which you don't really see out of most NFL or college quarterbacks, is because that's where they go there to learn it all, is that footwork.
So I think that in the
basketball is a whole different thing, and that's why I said I don't know if it's.
Do you think like there's a walk on when he sees a certain level of basketball, goes whoa, stop right here. What is this? Like, all right, like do you think it's like so different than a quarterback like Eli Manning at a walk on camp at Penn State, and then Jimmer Fredette at a BYU workout, where it's like. You could tell there's something else going on by the way he plays basketball than by a Chad Powers playing quarterback.
Right.
Because I got to think so. I think you're right. I think when you see a guy that has like NBA, like Jimmer Fredette had a cup of coffee in the NBA a few times.
But he's been in China, right?
He's been in China for a while. Apparently he's helped them win championships or whatever over there.
It's like the best player in Chinese
He's another one of those examples, like of a guy in college that you watched play. And I remember I was living out in Colorado when he was playing, where it was like, this guy's brilliant. This guy's amazing. But you kind of went, we'll see. NBA, we'll see. Because, you know, he did for a little bit, but never really caught on, never really found his groove, went overseas and became a star. Became a star in China, so... But yeah, it's kind of a, all right, well, eventually, I think it should end. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, it's kind of fun, but it should die now.
It should die.
Because I don't know where else you can go.
Yeah, if you're the fourth person to try to pull this stunt off, I think people are going to be like,
now, okay, if you have a certain player who's doing it to his alma mater, kind of like, you know, what Jimmer Fredette just did, you know, maybe I can get behind it, but
right,
you know, let's dial it back now.
Yeah, exactly.
Or go the other route. I mean, it popped up on, I don't know where I saw it. But it popped up again. I think it was on my timeline. Somebody liked it. Was when Greg Maddux pranked Chris Bryant.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week. That was pretty awesome.
That was fantastic. Cool. I don't mind seeing some of those where you bring in a Hall of Fame guy just to make someone look like a fool because you don't know who he is.
Yeah, or Uncle Drew. It was always a fun thing for Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, that's probably the best thing he's ever done in his career.
It was Uncle Drew.
His life. So.
right, more from the NFL as we continue. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Your thoughts on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Also, hit us up on Facebook. We have our Facebook page, Wake Up Call, with Tony D and Ron Culver. You can hit us up there as well as we continue.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, like we said earlier at the top of the hour, Monday Night Football tonight, Dallas and the Giants at game at MetLife Stadium. If New York pulls that one off, it is going to be 3-0 on the season. Dallas would drop to 1-2. Boy, the Eagles, they look fantastic, don't they? Jalen Hurts, he was drafted to be the backup for Carson Wentz a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And now Wentz is bounced around this league, and I think people were making excuses for Wentz, and I kind of get it. Like, he was getting low snaps, and that was hard. When you're getting low snaps, you lose your rhythm.
But still.
But come on, you're a quarterback, a professional quarterback. Like he's not a child.
Was he getting low snaps when he was under center?
Right, yeah. I mean, you gotta listen. I'm sorry, but you can't say that the circumstances have to be perfect. Part of the evaluation of quarterbacks is how you play when things aren't perfect. How do you play what happens when you are getting low snaps? What happens when your receivers are covered? What decisions are you making in that football game? Are you keeping the ball? Are you throwing it away at the right times? Those kind of things. Are you throwing it into triple coverage because you think you can fit it into a window that's impossible, the size of an eye of a needle? Those are the decisions that you have to make. And Carson Wentz, for whatever reason, has went from an MVP level to zip. Like this is it. He had his one last chance to do something in Washington, and they're not doing anything. He's not doing anything. 3 weeks in, I get it. He can change it around. But the Eagles have found their quarterback in Jalen Hurts. He's magnificent. And he's got receivers. A.J. Brown had a great catch, right? Devontae Smith had a good game. So you are talking about an Eagles team now that is, if you're looking at betting odds and just betting odds, are now on that upper part of betting favorites to win the Super Bowl.
See, and I will say this. I don't know about when. I still think the winner of the Super Bowl is going to come from the AFC.
I do too.
I don't see anyone that could beat them in getting to the end for the for the NFC.
Well, at least they're as good right now as any team in the NFC. There's no reason to think there's some shoe that's going to fall on the other side of the Eagles. Like, they're playing with, some sort of way that makes us go, no, you just wait. They're going to be eight and nine. Like, they're 3-0 now, but it's coming. No, it looks like they're rolling along. They've got a quarterback who can sling it and also run. He throws an accurate ball. He's got great receivers. Devontae Smith, as I mentioned, A.J. Brown, as I mentioned before, they've got a great offensive line. That is something that they built up. Miles Sanders can run the ball. Like, they've got all the pieces in place to be a team in the NFC. Yeah. Like who else right now is a clear cut, like, without question? It would be silly to think the Eagles couldn't beat the NFC.
Green Bay?
Come on.
We saw that Packers-Buccaneers game.
Yeah.
First of all, that game was trash. Those quarterbacks look old.
Those quarterbacks look old.
They still have magic. I know they still, mentally, they still know what that needs to be done to win the game. I just don't know if physically they can do it anymore.
And that's the problem with Brady, right? Like, his last touchdown came in the, final minute of the game?
Right.
That was it. That was the only touchdown he threw. They fail on the two-point conversion. That's it. 14-12 between two of these dynamic
quarterbacks. Well, it wasn't that. Just that. I mean, the two-point conversion alone was just a comedy of errors.
Yeah.
You could see Brady's mouthing to the sidelines. Like, I thought I had more time. It's like, Brady, the clock is right in front of you. What do you mean?
I know he's competitive. I get it. I know he wants to win and he wants to play at his best. He looks miserable on this 2-1 football team. Not on the field. I mean, when he's at the press conferences before the game, after the game, he looks miserable. And I understand his personal life is in shambles right now because it's all over Page Six and everywhere you go. And I do understand that, and I do have empathy for that. He looks like this is not fun. This is a chore. This game was a reminder that these are going to be the games he's going to have to play every single week. It looks like even next weekend, Sunday night, Kansas City versus Tampa Bay. If he doesn't get receivers back, this isn't going to be easy for him to beat Kansas City. Kansas City is going to want to bounce back strong after losing on the road to the Colts, and he's got no one to throw to.
Well, it just makes me wonder now, why'd you come back?
That's what I want to know. You know, what was the point?
If everything worked out the way he wanted it to beforehand, where, you know, Sean Payton becomes the head coach, he becomes team owner / quarterback for a season down in Miami. You know, if that whole thing worked out for him the way he had hoped for, I guess it all made sense. When it didn't work out, you could have just said, I'll just stay retired.
Well, I think the reason, I also think, remember, they went 13-4 and he led the league in touchdowns and yardage. So the reason he came back, remember, he came back in February. Like, he retired in February, came back in, early March?
Yeah.
It wasn't very long. So he wasn't coming back to knowing Mike Evans was going to be out one game, that he was going to need him, that Chris Godwin and Julio Jones were going to be hurt. Like, maybe his family life was going to be in shambles and he wasn't really mentally ready for the season. So he came back under the thought of, wait, I had a very good season. We had a very good team. We were really, in honesty, put ourselves in a hole against the Rams that we had to climb out of, and then we came up short. But honestly, at home, we should have never been that far back of the Rams. He didn't look at the Rams or the Packers as teams that were like, well, they're the creme de la creme, and we were just lucky to be in the conversation. They were in the conversation. But I think this year, having Evans suspended for the game hurt them this, and it's not going to hurt them against the Chiefs. He's going to be back. But he needs Chris Godwin still. He needs a Julio Jones still. Maybe Cole Beasley fits that role. But the reality of it is that he just doesn't look like he's having the kind of fun that you want to have at this age. Trust me, and I need to make this very clear. There is nothing Tom Brady can do to close out his career that is going to tarnish his legacy. Nothing. He can go 2-15. And not tarnish his legacy. His legacy is a 10-time Super Bowl participant and 7-time champion. That is always going to be, he's going to be the greatest of all time. But the reality of it is, this is one of the reasons that we always, as a fan base, we kind of wish you kind of would retire just a little earlier than Father Time wants you to. Now, I'm not saying Father Time has anything to do with this. This is really mental. I think his family situation is taking a toll on the way he's being perceived. He just does not look like he's having a good time. So this is not a Father Time physical thing. But the reality of it is, if he struggles and doesn't look like, and then just retires, that's not really the way we want you to go out. And not everybody can go out as a champion, but if you can just get it a tick before we start seeing trouble, that's kind of the way we wish we'd seen it. We see it. It reminds me of Derek Jeter. I think one of the, obviously Derek Jeter, his legacy with the Yankees was secure. But remember that final year when everyone was getting on Joe Girardi because he was batting him, in the leadoff spot or number two, wherever it was in the lineup at the beginning of the season, and he wasn't hitting well. He was terrible. And I was like, Joe, for the love of Pete, I know it's his final season, but Joe Girardi's like, I'm not putting Derek Jeter seventh in the lineup. That's not happening. Like, we're not doing this. And he was torn between needing to move Jeter in the lineup because he wasn't batting well, and also in that feeling of, but I got to honor this final season. And what happened with Jeter? He drove in a run in his final at-bat at Yankee Stadium because one of the most memorable things that he ever did. Brady and the Buccaneers should be fine. They should be fine. This game was close. Both teams struggled offensively. They have a fantastic defense that's going to keep them in games. I'm not talking about physical. Mentally, he doesn't look like he's ready. He doesn't look like he's there. He couldn't adjust. Again, you're losing three major wide receivers, but one of the Brady keys was always being able to make names of people we never heard of. That was always the thing, right? What was the guy's name of the Patriots? Chris Hogan?
Yes.
Out of nowhere, Chris Hogan's tearing up the Steelers secondary in the playoffs. I'd never heard of the guy. And next thing you know, he's catching every ball Brady throws at him. He made stars out of guys that really weren't star level and weren't star level when they left. And maybe he couldn't seem to do that in this game. He couldn't seem to say, you know what? Those guys are special athletes. They're special receivers, but I'll still manage without them. Now, again, he's getting Mike Evans back for the game on Sunday because it was a one-game suspension. Fine. All right. But, you know, maybe just maybe Russell Gage isn't the guy you throw 13 times to.
Right.
Right? I mean, nothing against Russell Gage. Fine job. He got a touchdown. But maybe that's not really what you're looking at. And by the way, what the hell did they get Kyle Rudolph for? He doesn't seem, does he ever throw to him?
I don't think so. Does he have something against him?
I don't know. Like,
I almost feel like sometimes teams bring on players just so one of their rivals or another team can't.
Right. Right, that's probably true. Yeah.
Now, I'm looking at a list. I mean, it's funny because you reminded me of when you said, like, yeah, I've never heard of Chris Hogan. What about Daniel Graham?
What was Daniel Graham? Daniel Graham was his –
I don't know.
Big tight end back in the day?
I guess. But he got 17 touchdowns from him. David Patton. That's another one that I don't really remember. I mean, just these guys who just kind of, like, popped up for a little bit and then went away.
Yeah, I know. So, I don't know.
It's funny.
I don't know
it's what's a going huge, on. Huge, long list of people who have caught touchdown passes from that, you just look at it like, these guys don't deserve to have caught passes from them.
There's probably a very good reason why. Maybe Rudolph only played in that game. I think that was his only appearance, but I don't know. He threw one time to him in the game. So, I don't want to pick on Kyle Rudolph, but I don't know. Nevertheless, I just feel like there's something off about this, and I know family is probably 90% of what he's going through. Look, I got to tell you, man, I'll share this. I know my wife and I have gone through some serious issues before where we were just fighting and not talking to each other, and it is hard to work. It was hard to work. I've done plenty of radio shows where off the air, I was texting her going, hey, we got to talk. Maybe we should go to dinner. Let's chat. And she was like, nope, tomorrow. I'll talk to you tomorrow, you know, that kind of thing, where we were really kind of, going head to head on some issues. It's really hard to concentrate when you're family. It's better to almost take some time off. But when you're an NFL quarterback, it's hard to do that during the season.
Yeah.
You can't really break away for family. You got to find a way to separate it. It's hard to do. And you can see it sort of wearing down on him. He's about ready to lose his wife. His wife wasn't at the game. His kids were, but his wife wasn't there.
Did they move? Are they out of the house or?
I don't know.
That was one of the first things I thought. I don't know if I should think of it this way, because I know there's a lot of people who are in trouble. But, you know, Hurricane Ian is heading right for Tampa.
Yeah.
And I did think about, like, is this another thing that Giselle's going to play on top?
I know. I hear you.
See, we weren't even supposed to be in Tampa right now.
Right, exactly.
And now I got to deal with the hurricane and the kids in school and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. So. Yep. By the way, I just looked it up. For those of you out there, Kyle Rudolph played only in that game against the
There you go.
So there you go. I overreacted, but nevertheless, I liked the signing, and I just didn't see it.
Well, is he the next Gronk?
He's probably on the phone.
Probably what Kyle Rudolph thought.
He needs a Gronk. He needs somebody to kind of get him like, look. Your family is going to, we'll figure this out, but right now, here's how we can get back together.
I thought he was
going to
get talk Edelman out of retirement.
Right?
Bring Edelman back.
Oh, I don't know. Edelman's knee, that was a bad injury, dude. That was.
I know.
Yeah, but it's hard to, man, try to get out of this thing healthy. That's the whole thing.
I can see Tom Brady getting on the phone with everyone. He's like, guys, I want to get the band back together. One final run.
No, you got to get younger, good athletes. That's what you want.
Get the band back together. Oh, I don't care. I'm leaving.
He needs dynamic receivers. You want Julian Edelman running the 40 in 7 seconds? That's the answer to the Buccaneers' problem. Is Edelman hobbling at walking speed?
Listen, man, I just need someone to catch a ball.
Again, poor Russell Gage. He caught 12 balls yesterday. We're like, nah, not good enough.
Yeah,
you're not as good as a guy who retired because he had double knee surgery. Too bad, Russell Gage. Played for the Falcons for a number of years.
And he brings back Chris Hogan. Not Chris Hogan.
Chris Hogan.
Yeah, you brought back Chris Hogan.
Bring on Chris Hogan. Yeah. Find somebody. Why? Yeah. But, man, that was always the thing. It's like, oh, my God, never heard of that guy, and he's a star. Now he's the hero of the game. Steelers used to get burned by guys like that all the time for 20 years. All right, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, we actually were thinking Cole Beasley.
Yes, that, Cole Beasley.
Buccaneers rant. Cole Beasley just got signed. They, I think they he threw to him once or twice.
I think it was four times for three catches.
Okay.
So, yeah. I was just looking it up.
Yeah. What's the point?
That was why I was thinking. I don't know.
I hope the Bucs bounce back. I don't know.
We're saying that like as if it was a terrible loss. They're 2-1.
No, they're 2-1. It's not a terrible loss at all. I know it's really.
I had them in my top five last week.
By the way, it's,
and now it's just like they're old, they're washed up. Throw them out of the league.
This league can spoil you sometimes. Like you, people complaining the 2-1, like we are. It's because Brady's there. Like Buccaneers were irrelevant for a while when Jameis Winston couldn't really work out well. And then, by the way, speaking of which, he stunk again against Charlotte. This is, if you want him to look bad, play against the Panthers. He's terrible against the Panthers. He was awful. So much so, Dennis Allen had to, again, reiterate that he's the starting. How many times do we do this with Jameis Winston? How many times? With the Buccaneers, it was the same thing, where he would have this terrible game, right? Throw a pick six or two of them, whatever. And then at the end, the coach would have to stand by him in the press conference and go, no, he's the quarterback. Because the media is like, this guy's terrible. Jameis Winston's not terrible, but he's terrible against Carolina. He's thrown 16 interceptions going into that game. He has 16 interceptions against the Panthers in his career. It's atrocious. But the Saints lost. Carolina won. They're both, 1-2 now? It's like a bunch of 1-2, 2-1 teams after 3 weeks. And who are the 3-0 teams? Miami, congratulations. Philadelphia, well done. Right? Giants could be tonight. All looking pretty good. They looked, those two teams at least look really good on Sunday. Wake up, call SportsMap Radio.